Welcome to week 10 of Private Practice Bootcamp. And this week we're going to be talking about marketing. And yeah, I'm not sure where all of you are. It's just myself and Carmen on the line here today. I'm assuming a few more people are going to pop in, but so you guys just might listen into a little chat we're going to have about marketing as we go through the material. And so we were saying before that the call started that I know this is the week that a lot of people feel the most anxious about, because it feels like, well, I just need to have, all I need to do is figure out my marketing. And often people aren't understanding where all of the pieces that we've been working on in the program up until now are actually funneling into your marketing. Marketing is really the last thing that you need to be thinking about, as opposed to, I just need to come up with a marketing plan. You really need to know who you're marketing to, how your client actually receives their information. Oh, there's Nadine. Hello. You need to have all of the other pieces in place, or else you can market and market and market. And this is what I see people doing, is they're spending a lot of energy marketing, but they're actually not getting a lot of return. I could hear a printer. and so what I'd really love for everybody to just be thinking about is what's a really efficient way for you to be marketing? And you don't have to be doing everything. In fact, actually, I find doing a little bit less is often more effective, as long as you're doing the right things for your practice. And for every single person, that's going to be different. So that's why there isn't just a, here is the way to market, because you're going to be unique, your practice is going to be unique, and your clients are unique. And it really does need to be factoring in for all three of those things in order for it to be an effective plan. All right, just unmuted you, maybe.
Sorry about that.
It's okay, I just heard a whirring in the background. So have you had a chance to go through the material this week, Nadine?
I have gone through some of the material. Okay. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you have any questions? I know Carmen's just reviewing it now, and my sense is there's probably quite a few people who are thinking, I'll just listen to the call and go through it. There was quite a bit this week. What came up for you when you were going through the material this week?
Well, one of the things that came up was I realized, just sort of looking at all the different ways of marketing, one of the things that I was interested in was, was things like doing like ebooks and booklets, because I'd actually started a little ebook, but then I realized I'm not sure that this is actually a good use of my time right now. And this is probably also going back to last week, looking at the possibility of video blogging, because it sounds like video is almost a more powerful medium and it has more reach.
It can. The deciding factor really is, are you comfortable on video?
Right.
Not everyone is. Yeah. So if you're not comfortable on video and choose to do video, it might get you reach, but it's not going to get you clients, because it's not showing you in your best light. Whereas if you're someone, my guess is, like yourself, you have the acting background, you'd probably feel very comfortable on video. And using YouTube is a really, really powerful way to drive traffic to your website. So actually starting your own YouTube channel, essentially. And then just like with your blog, essentially the videos become your blog. So you would make those videos, you would embed them into a blog post. And a way that you can actually get kind of double duty for it is you can get it transcribed and then create a blog post underneath.
Oh, right.
So you're getting the benefit of the SEO search of the actual keywords of what you're talking about. And there are some people who just like reading better than watching videos. They just don't want to sit through. And then there's other people who don't want to read and would be more than happy to just sit through a 2-3 minute video. So you're getting double duty if you're doing it that way.
Right. And one thing I noticed on YouTube, I saw that there was, he's a hypnotist, hypnotherapist, mm-hmm. John Connolly. And just looking at his video, sort of video channel, it was interesting to me to notice as well that he wasn't just doing his own content. He was essentially reposting other content that was related to his field. So that actually hadn't occurred to me at all that I could do that as well.
Mm-hmm. So essentially it is another platform that you can use, just like Facebook, just like anything else. And just like all of the platforms, it's just a matter of what are you comfortable with. And when it comes to your marketing plan, you just want to make sure whatever it is that you're doing, that you're having a plan for online marketing. And that's where your website's coming in. That's where, potentially doing the YouTube videos or the blogging or those types of things, the online directories. Those are great for online, but you can't forget about in person. You do need to have some aspect of real human connection. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to actually go sit down face-to-face, because depending on who your market is, you might be marketing to a really large population, or across the country even. But it's actually getting people on the ground, speaking to a real person and building a real relationship with them. That's actually how you're going to build your business very quickly. So it's creating some real quality relationships as opposed to just having a high quantity of people who have maybe met you, maybe heard of you, but don't really know who you are. It's actually getting some people they really become your advocates in the field. So like with my practice, I would say I probably get the majority of my referrals from probably 3 or 4 people that almost fill my practice just from those people alone. But I just think those relationships. Yeah, Carmen?
Are those other counselors or physicians or?
Mine are mostly other therapists.
Other therapists, okay.
Yeah, the ones that are really driving traffic to my business generally are other therapists, but they're therapists with complementary specialties.
Okay.
And that's where, again, I send them to probably just as many people as they send me. And so it's a matter of finding people that are in line with your value. Sorry, Maydeen. Every time you shuffle your page, I can hear. It's all good. It's okay. I lost my train of thought there. Right. You just want to make sure that they're people that you really line up with their values and you line up with their practice, whatever it is, whether it's an acupuncturist or whether it's a doctor or another therapist or someone in a completely different industry. The key thing for me, at least, that ties all those people together is I trust them. Mm-hmm. That I trust that if I sent someone to them, that they would be treated ethically, they would be treated with respect, and then vice versa. They send me people because chances are if it's someone that would trust them, they're probably going to be a good fit for me. So it's a really great way of getting almost pre-vetted clients but also expanding your own network is connecting with people that chances are you have a lot in common with. It's a good way to make some friends too.
I was going to say that's one thing I want to do being new to the area for the purpose of referrals, but also for the purpose of building just a network is connecting with the therapists who are already practicing here.
Yes.
But I was just like, I was wondering if you have any advice on that, like how to kind of just open that door because I have no connection to them whatsoever.
Yeah. So the advice I would give is research them first.
Okay.
So actually figure out who are these people so that when you do reach out to them, you're reaching out to them with a purpose.
Okay.
Of, hey, I noticed that you do this kind of work. I'm really interested in that, or that's something that I also do, or because I don't do that kind of work, I'd love to meet with you to either find out more or to be able to send people to you. I find if you can open the door with, I would really like to know more about you so I can send you more business. People rarely say no to that.
Okay.
And again, if they're so busy that they don't need more business, chances are that they're looking for people that they can send people to. So they'd probably be open as well to find out a little bit more about you.
Okay.
So I find that opens a lot of doors. It's just, I like what you're doing.
That's great.
Yeah, you know? It's really helpful.
And that's actually how I made the majority of my connections, was just, I like what you're doing. I got a good feeling when I looked at your website. I really love that you said this. I'm just wondering. And I usually start out with, can we just hop on the phone for half an hour or hop on Skype? Most people will say, let's just go for coffee. Like, if they're into it, they're probably going to make space for you. If they're really, really busy, people often are more than happy to give you 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of their time. And then you just go from there. If it was a good connection, then maybe go for coffee. Then just keep nurturing those relationships. I know with me, people who started out as, hey, you do this, so do I, we should maybe connect. I mean, some of them are now in my day-to-day life, some of my best friends.
Right.
Because it's actually, hey, we have things in common. We're both therapists. We both love doing this kind of work. Like, chances are you probably have something in common with them outside of that as well.
Okay. Good. That's helpful.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to be a hog, but no,
there's two of other 50%.
We can hog tonight.
Exactly.
One thing I've heard about in my area, and I just was wondering if you have any recommendations, like if it seems like something is worth the time or not, is networking groups. And I know it's groups of other professionals. I think they meet every Tuesday, and the idea is you get to know each other. And then, so I don't know if you have any.
It would depend on the group.
Okay.
I would say go check it out.
Uh-huh.
Because often you'll be the only therapist in the room.
I think I would be.
Yeah, which is great, because a real estate agent is going to see people going through divorces, probably need to talk to someone. You know, my hairdresser is one of my best referral sources.
Huh.
Every time I go get my haircut, I drop off a stack of cards with her.
Yeah.
Because she's talking to people who are telling her everything about their relationship. And if it's kind of next level stuff, she's like, you know, maybe you should call her. and I find with those networking groups, it's really great because you're connecting. It's non-competing industries, so they're not sizing you up, and often they're just really happy to know someone, and especially if they're not used to networking with therapists, which pretty well, if you're not a therapist, nobody really networks with therapists.
Yeah.
As soon as they have a friend or a loved one or just a colleague or an acquaintance who says, you know, I think I need to talk to someone, if you're the only therapist they know of, chances are they're going to say, well, I know this one person. They seem nice. You should give them a call.
Okay.
It's funny. I get referrals sometimes from people who say, oh, you know, I got your number from so-and-so. They said that you were great. And when I track it back, it's someone that I talked to for maybe 10 minutes at a networking event 6 months ago. But we made enough of a connection that they still had my card, remembered me. And when a friend says, you should call this person. They don't kind of take that into consideration, but then still search for 10 other people. Generally, they just call you.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's really that key piece about making sure you have some form of in-person strategy. Because what happens is they become your mouthpiece. So you don't have to run around saying, you know, send me business, and essentially having to scream into the wind. You have people out there who already are trusted advisors, who already have the ear of those people. And so when they say you should call this person, they do.
Okay.
So yeah, give it a shot. Some groups are better than others.
Uh-huh.
Into some networking groups where I went once and never really went back because it felt, sometimes it can feel a little slimy.
Oh, okay.
I always call it a drive-by networking. Where you'll just get people and they're just rapid firing business cards, and it's just like, hi, I do this, great, here's my card, and then they're just on to the next.
Right.
For me, I don't see any value in that. If we can't have a conversation and I can't get a sense of who you are, I'm probably not going to keep your card. And I don't think that that's uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Whenever I go to a networking event, I always try to really connect with maybe one or two people. Uh-huh. Like, that's my goal. If I don't talk to a single other person in the room, it was still a success, because those one or two people I actually had a real connection with, as opposed to having a 2-minute conversation with 20 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the BNI, the breakfast networking, mm-hmm. international, mostly because they usually hold them at 6 a.m., which I find just ludicrous. but because they're a closed network group, mm-hmm. like, they generally will have maybe 10 people, 15 people, and they make sure that they're all non-competing. So there would be, say, one accountant and one lawyer and one this. And then they always funnel to each other. That's the point of it, is
right.
I'm a lawyer, I have one. And my only concern with that is I don't want just every client. I don't want everyone that says I need a counselor. I don't want them sent to me. Mm-hmm. I would rather them send me people that actually needed what I'm offering.
Yeah.
And I know some people in those groups where they might get referrals, but they might not be clients they can work with.
Great.
So every group is different though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Good question.
Thank you.
No. And I think really when it comes to marketing, though, one of the biggest things too, though, is just letting people know that you're taking clients.
Yeah.
Working that in to a conversation.
Okay.
Yes, I have my own practice. Yes, I am taking new clients. And saying it confidently. I find when people are just starting their private practice, often they'll downplay it quite a bit. I just started my own private practice. I'm new to the field. I'm just starting out. Like, there's all these qualifiers, which essentially is setting you up for, I don't really know what I'm doing, as opposed to, I have a private practice. Even if you haven't seen a client yet, mm-hmm. you have a private practice, you're accepting clients.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Is that sort of the idea behind the sort of the 30-second mm-hmm. introduction to get that down and practice it? Yeah.
No, and it's going to be slightly different depending on who you're talking to, and that's where I put in there, and I might, these are five variations of ones that I use depending on who I'm talking to, and all of them are accurate, but I wouldn't necessarily hit someone with all of those because most people aren't going to care about most of them. So mm-hmm. if I'm at a business networking one, I generally would talk more about the business stuff that I do. If I'm at something that's more general public, I probably talk more about my therapy background, or, you know, if I'm at a school, I probably talk about my teaching background, or, you know, so you want to have things that are tailored to, but you want it to be so automatic that it just rolls off your tongue. So you're not sitting there trying to think of, okay, if I had to introduce myself,
right,
what would I say?
Okay. Yeah.
No, as therapists, we're quite lucky that we get to bypass a little bit of this, because just saying, you know, I am a therapist, I am a psychologist, I'm a clinical counselor, and I work with this, this, and this, often's enough.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a general understanding of what we do as therapists, so we don't often necessarily need to explain that. Mm-hmm. I find that is often what I'll lead with. And then if someone says, tell me a little bit more, I'll follow up with the, I work with blah, 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 teaching them how to yada, yada, yada. Whereas in other industries, often I find with coaching, because coaching is this weird nebulous thing, often people will come up with, you know, I'm a freedom instigator, and I, it's like these magical titles, and then they have to, you know, and I empower this to transform, and it's a magical little sentence often to say, you know, I work with self-esteem or whatever it is. So, you know, we don't need to make it as complicated in our industry, but we do need to be able to at least speak to, okay, what do I do?
Okay.
Yeah. That's where those descriptors that we worked on in the branding set piece, mm-hmm. often you can just pull that forward and then maybe tweak it slightly. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great way to introduce yourself.
Okay.
Great. Is there, oh, I saw the breathe in. I wasn't sure if that was another question.
I have more questions, but I'm going to
take it. Hermaine, did you have a question?
Well, it's more a comment. I just wanted to share that it was interesting working with Mercedes doing this workshop, mm-hmm. because as a test, we did a Facebook ad, we did an event page, we did a Google ad, we did basically all of the free listings, and basically the people that came were all from her mailing list.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting just to see that kind of personal connection at work.
Well, and that's the piece of when we were talking about last week of if you see yourself doing things like workshops or selling something where you're trying to get people to purchase a thing, a mailing list is a necessity, really, because the people who sign up for your mailing list are essentially telling you, I already like you, I already like what you're doing, and I would like to know when you're doing more of it. So those really are your people. Whereas for therapists, people are either your client or they're not. You know, it's not like people are like, I'm thinking about maybe working with that person in a year, so I'm going to sign up for their mailing list. So often what happens is the people who end up on your mailing list are already clients and they're already seeing you. If you're doing good work with them, they're coming back. Mm-hmm. So it often is not necessarily bringing in a lot of more clients, and it's a lot of work to maintain. But again, if you see yourself down the road selling products, doing workshop, having those things, then absolutely looking at having a mailing list might be something for you. But it's not a necessity for if you're planning on having what I would say is more of like just a pure private practice. Like I know from my private practice, I don't have a mailing list. My practice has been full for almost 5 years. So it's not a necessity. But again, I mean, I'm considering getting one now for my private practice just because I'm branching off into some other things that are not solely just face-to-face services in my private practice as well. So that's where, again, with everybody, it's really going to depend on what does your practice look like? What are your future goals? What type of services do you want to be offering? And then coming up with a plan that's actually going to make sense for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the piece. I find Facebook, people are very happy to like something, but that has very little correlation for them actually showing up or purchasing anything.
Yeah.
Unless it's a digital product. So again, if you had an ebook or something like that, potentially, because you can get really targeted with your Facebook ads, but for an actual in-person event or in-person show up for a session, it doesn't have the same conversion rate.
Yeah. And it was interesting to see that the Facebook ad actually did surprisingly well in terms of click-throughs to the website. So that was kind of surprising because we thought, oh, that's going to be like perform the worst out of all the things we tried. So yeah, it's very, very interesting. It's good learning.
Yeah. Well, and that's where Facebook is great for getting eyes on things. It's just you have to really push it to actually get people to purchase from it.
Yeah.
So with every single thing that you're doing for marketing, really the question is, what is my intended goal for doing this? No. Is the goal I want to get people to call me and book a session? Facebook ads are probably not going to get you that. No. Blogging is more likely to get you that than... because that's increasing your authority, that's increasing your credibility, you're providing a resource. Whereas just a Facebook ad saying, look at my practice, when people are on Facebook, they're generally just surfing. They're not in that mode of actually looking to get specific information. They're just in that absorption of everything phase. So you just want to think about it, what's the reason behind doing this? So even with ebooks or books, you know, what's the purpose behind it? Is the purpose to build credibility? Is the purpose to educate? Is the purpose to make money? If you want to make money, a book is the worst thing to do. Do not write a book if you want to make money. It will not happen. I promise you this. It will take 100 times longer than you think and cost way more than you ever think it was, Will, and you will make very little off of it. And that's okay. Because if you might be doing it for the expert status that comes from writing a book. You know, that's a great reason to write a book. Or you want to be able to provide a resource for clients. That's a great reason to write a book. You know, so you just want to look at it. If the goal for something is to make money, then you just need to make sure that whatever you're doing actually has a likelihood for that to happen. Yeah. So like with books, you know, if you're selling them on Amazon, I have a book that's about to launch in February. And, you know, when you factor in sales and percentages to Amazon and percentages to a lot of people, I mean, you might be making $3-4 per book, you know, which is not a way to get rich. But that's fine as long as that's not the reason you're doing it. So, and that's where like things like joint ventures, I find are often much more bang for your buck. So things like doing a workshop with somebody, because what it does is you're now, you have something to market where people can now come and actually have an in-person experience with you. So you're building that trust. And you're able to tap into other people's networks. So it's essentially doubling the marketing power, because people who really liked your co-presenter might now find out about you and vice versa. And so making sure that you're doing these workshops with people who are in alignment with you, but also just slightly different, can be really beneficial, because then it's a matter of, you know, maybe this person is having an issue with, like, I'll use one of the people that I often do co-things with. So Dr. Tisha Morgan is a sex therapist in town, and she's actually the co-author of the book that I wrote. And we cross-refer all the time. And the reason for that is, even though we both work with sex therapy, we work with different aspects of it. So it's perfect in the fact that we both bring something different to the table. It's the same topic. But the client who would pick her versus the client that would pick me is still slightly different. And so it's a really, really good blend for us. And so just making sure that with your partners that you're both bringing something to the table that's just slightly unique. And I mean, really, once we really start to stand in how we work with people, there's always something that we're offering that's slightly unique compared to every other therapist. So it's not hard to find, but you just have to make sure that everybody's aware of, okay, this is the piece that I'm bringing and this is the piece that you're bringing. And it can just be really powerful. I just wanted to speak to the testimonials piece just quickly, because I just found out something that I never knew that they were doing. And I think this is interesting, is I know the CCPA, the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association, is now actually calling people and making them take testimonials off of their websites. So I was talking to someone who just got a phone call and was told that they needed to remove it, even though the testimonials were provided anonymously. They still, they will not allow them to have testimonials. So they're starting to crack down.
Is that because of ethics or?
Yeah. Pretty well every association has pretty firm guidelines around the fact that they don't think testimonials from clinical clients are appropriate, because there's such a high likelihood of coercion. I mean, in really, there's almost no way there is no coercion, even if the person gives it willingly and even if it's on their own accord. You know, are they trying to please you? Are they trying to gain favor with you? Are they, you know, are they doing it because they think that, you know, they're helping you? And then also too, so they give you a testimonial and then they come back a year later and they don't like your services anymore, but their testimonial is still on your website. Like, there's just so many circumstances that can go sideways with that. So, where I do find the testimonials are really, really powerful in it, and I mentioned this in the modules, is giving testimonials for people who are doing things for colleagues, whether it's on LinkedIn, and actually giving a recommendation. So not one of those things that pop up that basically says, oh, do you think so-and-so is great at group therapy? Click yes. I don't know what those are for. They're kind of useless. I loved it. I had... I think 47 people who said I was really excellent at family therapy, and I don't do family therapy. I don't know how it ended up on my LinkedIn account, and I finally was able to just delete it because people kept recommending me for family therapy, and I don't do it. But where it can be helpful is actually giving a written recommendation. So, and the reason for that is if it's somebody who's actually doing getting traffic to their LinkedIn account, every time someone goes and looks them up, your testimonial is going to be there. And so it's a higher likelihood that someone might click on you and then link back to your site. Okay. And that's really where the testimonials for people can be really powerful is, again, if it's somebody that you believe in what they're doing. You know, I've had people where I've given testimonials, so now my name is on the back of their book. Or I've given testimonials on their websites or, say, products that they're doing or workshops that they're doing. And so the fact they're marketing whatever their thing is, but anyone who looks at whatever, say that, let's say that website, they're also seeing my name and my website. So it's a way that you can really lend your support to someone you think is doing great work. But the added benefit is it also aligns you with someone who's doing really good work and people are more likely to see you. So that's the piece. And again, you can do that on your website. If you have, say, a professor who saw your work, thought you were really great, and is willing to give a testimonial, that's something you can absolutely put on there. Mm-hmm. You know? Or with, say, workshop facilitation. You can do whoever facilitated the workshop with you. You can get them to have a testimonial speaking to your character. That's where testimonials can be powerful, but I just don't find we need them from clients.
Okay.
No, I don't know anybody who's read a testimonial and thought, yeah, I need to work with that person, because therapy is such a personal thing that just because you were amazing and changed somebody else's life has no bearing really on if they're going to be a good fit for them. So,
yeah,
but it's something I see a lot of people edging into because it's that coaching mentality in the coaching world. And again, you'll see it on my consulting on the Business of Helping website. I have testimonials all over the place because in a coaching and a consulting and a teaching role, testimonials actually do help people because they're speaking to an outcome. You know, I worked with this person and I got the thing that I was hoping to get.
Right.
Whereas with counseling, we can't say that. We can't promise an outcome, and an outcome with one person, you know, we can't transition that necessarily to someone else. It's so personal.
Okay.
But I know there's a lot of people feeling pressure to put testimonials on their website because they see it a lot. Just don't worry about that. And if you're with the CCPA, they will call you and tell you to take them off anyway. So I guess that was hilarious. And then I guess one of the other pieces I just wanted to touch on is just making sure that whatever it is that you are doing, you're tracking it. You know, so just like what you're saying, Nadine, as far as the Facebook ad, you know, you saw, okay, this many people clicked through, but actually how many of them showed up to the event? So maybe it worked in one metric, but not in another. So you have to figure out what is it that's actually working and then just do more of that. So far, I know for myself, directories are probably one of the biggest drivers of referrals for me. Really, I would say I primarily do directories or direct referrals from other professionals are really the two main things that fill my practice. And I have a few key directories that I just know those are the ones that I get referrals from. And so I keep paying them because they keep sending me people. And then there were some that didn't work for me. I didn't get a single person, and so I quit paying them.
I've heard really good things about Psychology Today.
I've heard good things too, and I hear it's a little bit hit and miss.
Oh, okay.
Where it'll work really well for a period of time, and then you don't get anybody for a period of time. And I don't know. I'm not on Psychology Today just because I'm not trying to get any more clients really at this point, but I know people that are, and that seems to be pretty consistent, is it'll work really well for a while and then it'll die off. And I know some people said that when they went in and changed things on their write-up, they went back up again. So I don't know if it's kind of like once your account gets stale, they maybe aren't showing you as much.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's not something Psychology Today says they're doing, but just from the talk I've heard from people who are on there, that there seems to be something about that. If you're on there, just making sure every once in a while you're just changing a thing here or there.
Yeah. So that one. What directories do you find are helpful?
Counseling BC.
Okay.
Is a big one. I find Theravive is a good one for me. And the reason for that is I tend to get a lot of media inquiries through there for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't get as many clients through there as I used to, and I'm not sure why, but I used to get a lot of clients through them, and I'm not getting as many client referrals. But every time I've been contacted by the media, it's always been through that one.
Sure.
So, Counseling BC, that, and then for me, the BCACC website, as well as the CCPA, are the other ones that I'm on. And then I have a few various smaller directories. So for the BC Options for Sexual Health, I'm on their directory as a trusted source. There's a couple holistic healing centers that I'm on their directories. Which again, I find those are the types of things that are great, because on some of them, I'm the only therapist on their directory. They might only have 10 people for all of Vancouver on their website. It's in some ways they're saying, if you need a therapist, this is the person you need to go to.
Okay.
And I'm pretty specific about if someone asks to put me on their website, I vet them. Just because not all referrals are good referrals. You want to make sure that if you're going to be getting referrals from that source, that they're actually the right referrals for you, or else what ends up happening is it's now a lot of extra work for you, because they're not going to be people that you can see, but now you're actually responsible to be finding them someone else. So just make sure that if you're on somebody's site, that it's someone that you're in alignment with and that it's going to be quality referrals for you.
Okay. I have another question about connecting, because I see myself doing a lot of cold calling in my future, but so I think physicians and there's a small college in the town next to us that I'd like to connect with. So, but I'm just wondering, like, these are sort of big organizations potentially, or busy organizations. I know physicians have very little time.
Yes.
And they tend not to remember things. So yeah, just any suggestions about connecting with those types of folks?
Admin staff are your friends.
Okay.
anywhere like a doctor's office or holistic healing center or anything like that, whoever's in charge of their admin is the brains of that office.
Okay.
That's who you need to get in good with. and they're often the gatekeepers.
Okay.
Generally, you're not going to be able to, so look at the doctor's office, you're usually not going to be able to walk in and actually sit down with one of the doctors. But if you go in and actually talk to whoever is working the front desk and just say, hey, I'm new in town, or, I would just really love to, let you know about some of the work that I'm doing, or see if, I might be able to drop off some flyers or whatnot, just so you guys know about me, if you know of anybody. In some cases they'll say, thanks, you can drop that off with me and have a nice day, and they don't want to talk to you. And that's okay. And sometimes they say, oh wow, we actually get a lot of these clients. Like, this will be really helpful.
Okay.
But yeah, start.
I'm going to use cookies.
Yes, cookies are great. Everybody loves cookies and chocolate. Bribery works very well with front desk staff, because their job is incredibly hard. And just, I find really just, this is the thing with marketing that I find a lot of people step over, is it's just people talking to people. Like, just be really, just be nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
Amazed at how far it can go when you're just being a nice person to another nice person, and then saying, hey, I have this solution to a problem that I think you might have. Are you interested in hearing about it? Most people are pretty open to that.
Okay.
I was just going to say, whereas if you look at marketing more from that perspective of, I need you to send me business, you know, I need something from you, as opposed to what can I actually do for you?
Right.
That's usually where people, the wall will go up immediately. They're not listening. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They're too busy. Whereas if it's more, I have a solution that I think would be helpful for you, or I have something that maybe you need, and I thought maybe we could help each other out. Door is open.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, in line with that, I was kind of thinking about free presentations and workshops, these types of things.
Yes.
And I have worked in settings where people in private practice came in and did free workshops, and and everybody's guard was up because you could just tell that it was a sales pitch, and it felt a lot, it felt sort of underhanded almost. So any ideas about, I mean, I think you're answering it right there, but like how to kind of avoid that so that you are, because I think I would like to do free presentations also in part to kind of just give something, right? So it's networking and give something, but just how to kind of avoid that.
Well, and I think you nailed it right there of just actually give something.
Right.
You know? I mean, I find when you give something away for free, and again, that's why blogging works.
Because
we're giving away knowledge for free.
Right.
And if people are looking for more of that, often they're willing to pay. And that's where with the free presentations, it's a service, really. And all we're saying is, I have a solution to a problem I'm pretty sure you have. And if we actually help them with that problem, the next time they have a problem, or if they want more information about that problem, they now have a sense of who you are, they trust you, they know you know what you're talking about, and they're more likely to send people. But when we actually walk in with, hi, I know these things, and you need to send me all of your people.
Yeah.
It's like, this is now, it's now a taking as opposed to an exchange.
Or I've seen like teaser presentations too, that those don't seem to go very well. Like, I'll do one presentation, but then you have to pay for more knowledge. I don't know. Those don't sit well with me, but I mean, maybe they're effective and there's something I don't know about them.
They can be incredibly effective, but only if the teaser presentation has value.
Right.
You know, so for me, my how to set up a private practice workshop is part of the sales funnel for this program.
Right.
But it's a 3-hour workshop that if people did nothing other than come to that workshop, they got a lot of value.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that's all that they need.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with having a teaser.
Uh-huh.
But if the teaser is like just vaguely talking about the things that you might learn only if you pay me, nobody likes that. That's really, it just, to me, it always feels dirty. I'm like, spending an hour with you. You know, so when it comes to free talks, just general rule of thumb, and this is super quick, but general rule of thumb is keep it to 45 minutes.
Okay.
And keep it to 3 tangible points.
Okay.
Because we either don't give enough information because we just talk surface level about a bunch of things that we never really give people anything to take home. Or we throw everything at them because we're trying to teach them 10 hours worth of information in 45 minutes.
Right.
And people get overwhelmed and shut down.
Okay.
No. So with a free talk, just pick one topic, keep it really concise, and then just pick 3 tangible points so people can walk away and say, I actually learned 3 things, and I can now take that information and actually apply it to my life after being in that talk. If they like what you did, they will happily come back and most likely happily pay you.
Because
if they got that much value for free, how much more would they get if they actually came in and worked?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think as long as we're just clear with our intentions, I mean, there's nothing wrong with coming in and saying, I'm going to give you some free stuff. And I'm quite blatant with people. Like, I'm going to do this workshop. And at the end, I'm going to ask you for a testimonial. I hope you like it. And if you don't, that's okay too. You know, I hope you can tell me and then I'll try to do it differently next time.
Yeah.
We don't have to be covert about what we're doing, but we do have to actually provide value or else what's the point?
Yeah.
And it's just sleazy.
It feels that way to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Just one quick question on the tail of that. Where would you give free talks? That was something I hadn't actually thought of, but where would you actually do the free talks?
It would completely depend on who you are trying to work with. So again, it's going back to who's your client and where do they already hang out? You know, so if you were wanting to work with creative professionals, you might do a talk at Emily Carr.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I get it now. Okay. Yeah. For the clients. Okay.
Yeah.
Potential clients.
Potentially. So again, but that's where it's potential clients. You could do talks for them, or you can do potential talks for the trusted advisors of your clients. There's different ways you can do that. So if you're going direct to the client, you need to actually be giving them something of value and then at the end you say, and I also offer one-on-one sessions. If you're interested in coming in, this is how you can get in touch with me. So you might be sharing grounding exercises or mindfulness or whatever, but it's often you're teaching them something tangible. Another way you can do it is, like Carmen was saying, with more of those lunch and learn type things, is going in and saying, hey, doctors, you might be working with clients who have eating disorders. Now, here are some things that maybe you should look for. And if you notice X, Y, and Z, here's what you could do about it. So now you're solving their problem because they probably don't have specialized training in eating disorders, or maybe they don't really even know what they're looking for. And here, I've now just given you some knowledge that makes you better at your job and allows you to serve your population better. And because I now gave that to you, if you do have someone, say, with eating disorders, you're very likely to send them to me because I'm your trusted source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so for you, places like Emily Carr, places where creatives hang out. And then, again, we want to solve a problem for people. So whatever your talk is, needs to be solving a problem. So it might be helping creatives get their creativity back. That's a really lame title, but
a good one. I went to art school. People get blocked.
Blocked. Like working through your creative blocks or something like that, because that's a problem that creative people have
I'm
frustrated. I have all these ideas and I just don't know what to do with them, or I need ideas and I have none. So going and just doing a quick talk on, here are some things that you can do to jumpstart your creativity. That's solving a problem. And then even if they are now having, say, relationship problems or having other problems, you were the person that they remembered they were a therapist. Maybe I could track them down. Or if a friend of theirs is going through something, actually there was a therapist that came and did this talk. She seemed really nice. Here's her number. One of the things that I do, I don't do a lot of public speaking as far as my clinical practice goes, just because I haven't had to. But for my consulting practice, I do a lot of talks at the universities with all the new counseling students coming out, because they need exactly what I'm offering. So you go and just solve problems for people. You have this problem. Here's some information that's actually going to help you with that. If down the road you have more problems with that, I can't tell you how many referrals I get actually, because I teach, how many referrals I get 5 years later from someone that I taught who just liked my style and is now referring one of their friends to me for counseling. Mm-hmm. You know, so we never know when it's going to come back or if it's going to come back. Sometimes it's just, we're just sending goodness out there. But I do find if we're genuinely trying to act in service, it usually finds its way back to you. Mm-hmm. But with everything you're doing, there just needs to be a purpose behind it. Of why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? What problem am I trying to solve? Mm-hmm. All right. I can see both of you off deep in thought.
Well,
it's interesting. I hadn't thought of giving talks. That was something that actually hadn't occurred to me. But what a great way to connect with people and kind of give something back and generate business potentially as well.
Well, and it's a really great way to get your finger on the pulse, because ask questions. Right. What are people asking questions around? Great. I realize there's a need for that. Maybe I'm going to write a blog post on that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to offer a service specifically around that problem. Mm-hmm. But it's great market research. While also providing something like real, I find real positive marketing, connection marketing, it's a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. No, we don't have to be 100% selfless in everything we're doing. I mean, we're running businesses. Ultimately, I'm hoping that people will pay me so that I can pay my rent. I think that would be wonderful. But I don't only want people to pay me. I actually want to make change in people's lives. And if you're making a change in someone's life, they're very happy to reimburse you for that. Mm-hmm. But if the only goal is, what do I need to do to sell something? And we're not actually building right into the structure of the project, what problem can I solve for somebody else? That's often where there's a misalignment. Mm-hmm. So if we start with what the problem is, and then figure out, okay, what's the best medium for this? There's usually a way. And that's what takes that sleazy factor out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you'll know it. You'll know it when you're talking to someone and you're like, this just feels gross and I just want to walk mm-hmm. away from you and I never ever want to be to you.
Yeah.
It needs to be a two-way street.
That really helps me because that kind of turns me off marketing because I have that in my head and it's just I don't like it. Yeah. So well, I can't do it.
Yeah, and you should because it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
You know, especially as therapists, we have an advantage mm-hmm. over almost every other industry in the fact that we know people. We can mm-hmm. read people. We can be empathetic to people. And if we mm-hmm. actually tune that into what is the problem that you have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then just using our communication skills, using our empathy skills, actually share, well, you know what? There is a way you might be able to shift that, and I could help with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People are very, very open to that because nobody likes to be suffering. Nobody likes pain. And if people are trying to grow, often they want some support in that. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the other industries, what they use is a lot of what I would say is kind of negative coercion techniques, which is really high pressure sales. But a lot of people unfortunately have that sense that high pressure sales is actually what marketing is. And it's not, it's one way to do marketing, but it's often not one to get, it will get you your first sale, but it will make it also your last sale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not in that industry.
Yeah, that's good.
We're looking for people to feel good about the interaction. Yeah. And they will, once you've been doing this work for a while, your clients will start to become one of your biggest referral sources. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have one client alone who sent me 7 people. Hmm. I love her. she comes in and just takes stacks of my business card and passes them out. She does a lot of public speaking about mental health type things. Okay. And she's just like, I just passed your card out like candy. I'm like, you're my best friend. I love you. I can't say that to you. I can say thank you. And I'm like, I just want to hug you right now. But you never know.
And that it is kind of making me think, like when I spoke with somebody in mental health a while ago, and just he was telling me that there's a need for a psychologist in town, and so that was part of what we were talking about. But part of what he was also talking about was sort of in a smaller place, like part of what builds a practice is being available to contribute to the community, and that the more you kind of do that and sort of, I don't know, create, it's not in like it's a niche, but also just sort of create connections and just pitch in and contribute, the more your business grows sort of organically. So it's sort of, they're kind of aligning for me, those two observations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they're fun. We get to actually share the things we know. I mean, how long did we go to school?
Yeah.
Things. And we get to share it in a way that just in a moment we can actually give someone that one piece of information that they needed. Mm-hmm. And there's so many community organizations that are always looking for support. I actually just got a call. I'm going to be doing a talk in December with an organization where they do social networking like in-person social networking where they try to connect communities with resources. And so they've asked me to come in and do a talk on anger and anger management. And so I'm coming in and we're going to be doing some grounding exercises and, you know, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to prepare that talk. I can just walk in and do that talk. But for them, that's an incredible resource. Mm-hmm. No. So, I mean, if we're looking for it, there are a lot of organizations that would be happy to have someone and give free information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
a lot of what we do is expensive.
Yeah.
And so for me, this is what I do. Instead of having a true sliding scale that I offer publicly, I go to free talks. Because I can contain it and I can actually have more impact because I'm speaking to a larger group.
And yeah.
I still get to give back, but then I can keep the space in my private practice, my clinical practice for people that can pay so that I can actually live the rest of my life.
Yeah. Makes good sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks guys.
Thank you.
Fun little chat today.
Oh gosh.
I got one email from one person saying they weren't going to be here. So I have no idea where everybody else is. I hope they're at least doing something fun. We're in the backstretch now. We're heading into week 11 of 12, which I can't believe that we're almost coming to the end. Mm-hmm. For anyone who's listening, just for those of you that haven't booked your one-on-ones yet, I just would get on that because you do need to get them in before the end of December. So the link is in the group and I would love to work with you guys one-on-one. And in those calls, we can dig into your website, into your marketing plan, ideal client, really anything that would be useful for you and just getting some clarity so you can keep the momentum going.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.